You're listening to Expand the Curve, and I'm your host, Olive Bassey. Here we discuss controversial topics within plus-size representation in all industries, along with real-life stories from everyday people. In order for change to occur, you must be the change. Let's contract the norms and expand the curve. Welcome back, everyone. It's Expand the Curve, your host, Olive Bassey, here again. I have a special guest with me today. Her name's Kasturi. She is with the startup company called Bear Health Company. How are you today?
I'm doing so well. And Olive, you just have a tremendous podcast voice. I just wanted to start by saying that.
I've been getting that a lot, frequently. A lot of commentary about I have a good voice. So I'm like, thank God.
It puts you a lot farther ahead than most other people in this game.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So you work primarily in the healthcare, specifically healthcare communications. And I wanted to do like a little background info on you and the company. So whenever you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the past few years, I've been working in health tech. And in my last major role, I was at a healthcare communications company. And what that meant was that we would partner with large healthcare organizations, your insurance company, large hospital systems, and work with them to build these campaigns to really engage patients and members to do quote unquote healthy actions. Like go in and see your preventative care provider, go in and go get a breast cancer screening, go apply for this benefit. And one of the things that I've realized in that line of work is that we weren't really centering the actual needs of the patient and the person who is on the receiving end of our campaign when we built these things. And that's one of the things that I really want to change in any of the work that I do in the future. And let me give you an example. One of our most common campaigns was, hey, you haven't seen your primary care provider in 2 years. Why don't you go make an appointment right now? Because you can really engage with this person and ask them any questions that you have about your healthcare needs. And we would send this kind of messaging out to hundreds of thousands of people. And what I realized later on was that, again, we were centering the needs of the organization. And the fact that the organization that we were partnering with really wanted to get people through the doors of a clinic and not centering what the patient actually wanted. We weren't thinking about, hey, what is this patient's history with this provider? Have they had good experiences in the past? Do they have a trusting relationship with this person? Have they been treated with compassion and care? And without considering those questions, we would get straight to, hey, you haven't done this in a good long while. Why don't you just go on in and go trust this person and see what happens? And when we took a step back and thought about the actual needs of the patient and understood that if you have one or more marginalized identities, the healthcare system has always been a rough place for you. Like in healthcare settings, you haven't always received the care that somebody with a thin white body, the care that they might receive. And when I started putting all of those pieces together, I realized, shit, we're not thinking about this in the right way. We're not thinking about this from the perspective of the patient. And that really led me to wanting to step away from that role and taking some time to really understand a patient's experiences in the system, you know, how those experiences can really differ based on your identities, how those experiences can really differ if your provider doesn't share your lived experience or doesn't understand what it's like to be you and move through society as you do. And that really brought us into a space where my co-founder and I wanted to think about how do we do the right thing this time around. And initially, we thought it would be by creating a space where people could come find the right providers for them, could find providers that, you know, shared similar lived experiences and cracked a perspective that was thoughtful and welcoming and compassionate. So that's where we started. And since then, it's been a bit of a path to get to where we are today, which is working on a size inclusive virtual clinic.
I love that. It's not easy because I always thought healthcare system was always considered black and white and they always saw my weight as bad. And there's never been a gray area.
because weight has always been considered this one bad thing. And like you said, it's always been seen as a thin white body. It's
ideal.
Never been seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, ideal. So it's never been seen in a positive outlook or in a body positive outlook. I know recently you switched from going from body positive to size inclusive for the terminology. I wanted to ask what factors played into that part for you guys choosing that.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that question. And I just wanted to provide a little bit of context before I answer this specific question, which is that you really can never assume somebody's health status or how healthy they are by looking at them. Mm-hmm. And regardless, when somebody's engaging with the healthcare system, they deserve the same level of care that you give to your straight size, your thin white patient. And that's absolutely not the case today. And so there's so much that needs to change within the healthcare system in order to actually ensure that people in all kinds of bodies with multiple marginalized identities are getting the same level of care, the same evidence-based treatment that doctors provide to their thin white patients without batting an eyelid. So that's really the perspective that we're coming from. And in terms of thinking, moving away from this notion of body positivity and thinking more about size inclusivity, I think that, like many people, I've just had my own education in this space. And knowing that body positivity, while it's been helpful for so many people, it really does have its limits. Yeah. I was talking to somebody yesterday and getting their feedback on what we're building, and they made this point that body positivity isn't going to help them get top surgery if they're being denied top surgery because of their weight.
Right.
Body positivity isn't going to ensure that other people treat you the way that you deserve to be treated. Looking inward, it can have its benefits, but when we're talking about societal change, body positivity isn't going to push the envelope, isn't going to move the needle, whatever term you want to use, isn't going to really change the care, compassion, and the equality that people in larger bodies have been demanding for years and decades. So I think that we need to think differently about it. We need to think differently about the role that we all play in it. Mm-hmm. And body positivity, it's just a bit of a red herring because it pushes away the focus on societal problems, and it makes everything about you and your own relationship to your body. So I think it's just very limiting, and it doesn't, especially when it comes to healthcare, it doesn't convey what we're trying to convey, which is that we all need to unlearn a lot of harmful beliefs about the linkages between size and health. And we all need to relearn that everybody deserves equal access to care, whether or not they're healthy, whether or not they're thin, it doesn't matter. Healthcare is a human right, and body positivity doesn't play a role in that realm.
I completely agree. Yeah. I did my research too. And like you said, body positivity is so limited. It's actually demeaning sometimes because it, as much as it's trying to help, there's still some voices that are still not being heard or still being silenced in the process. It's absolutely harmful. So I just wanted to work around and see how your company now is making that progress, because you guys are more on the digital aspect of it. How is that working for you guys?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, when we first started, we had this vision of what we could do to make healthcare more inclusive. And we thought it was going to be to help people find and connect with affirming providers. So we wanted to build essentially a directory, and we wanted people to go in and search for the doctor or the therapist that they'd always wished they'd had, but couldn't find. So that could mean, I don't know, maybe I would be able to go look for a South Asian therapist who's an immigrant herself, because that way we could connect on a deeper level and I could, you know, trust this person from the get-go. So we wanted to make that possible for everybody, for the whole range of needs that people have when it comes to their care. But we wanted weight-neutral providers to be a huge component of this directory. But when I went out into the world and looked for doctors, nurse practitioners, DOs who were weight neutral or who practiced health at every size or who worked from a paradigm that was much more size affirming, I really struck out. I found like less than five doctors that I would say fit this criteria. And that was across the country.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, how do we actually make sure that this directory contains the people that need to be on here in order for patients who've been let down in the past to find more equitable care options? And mm-hmm. the reality was that health at every size and these paradigms for more size inclusive care really hadn't hit the mainstream. And it was such a struggle to find these providers. And the more I talked to other people, I realized, oh, this was like an everyday struggle for so many people, right?
Yeah.
Making sure that you could walk into a doctor's office and know that they have the right seating, the right size gown. And beyond all of that, that when you talk to this provider, they would believe you, that they wouldn't say every single symptom is always tied to your weight. That was just a struggle that so many people are going through, and yet it's so overlooked when it comes to the broader picture of health equity. So when we had that realization that these providers just aren't out there, mm-hmm. we realized that building this directory wasn't enough and that we had to personally get involved and think about how we could build our own clinic and make weight neutral care, size inclusive care accessible to the masses, because mm-hmm. it's such an individual problem and you're left to your own resources right now. And Olive, I know that this very intimately, but people are just left to fend for themselves. And I think that needs to change. And there needs to be an accessible option for somebody to go online and initiate a telehealth visit and know that when they talk about their symptoms, they're believed. The person on the other side doesn't see their weight as an indicator or proxy for their health. And that they really look at the multifactorial nature, weight, and they look much more comprehensively at what's going on with you. What are your goals? Mm-hmm. Why don't you set the tone for our conversation?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we're working to build today. We want this clinic to really be the standard bearer for what inclusive healthcare looks like and how size and weight can really, it's just one of many factors, but it's becoming the linchpin for everything in the traditional conversations and interactions people are having today. And we really want to change that.
Absolutely. I know with the pandemic and everything, a lot of hospitals were booked up. A lot of hospitals and clinics were just filled. So they started moving to more of that telecommunications, telehealth approach. And I know a lot of my plus size friends were more doing it on a virtual kind of option here too as well. Do you think healthcare in the United States is moving in the direction to provide more providers that are more size inclusive on that telehealth scale?
I think that telehealth can play a significant role and will play a significant role in all of our care journeys moving forward. Actually, it's funny that you bring that up because in the past couple of days, I've heard multiple people talk about how they've been treated better when they've initiated telehealth conversations. Mm. And one person specifically said, it feels like I have a lot more control over the conversation when my provider doesn't have my weight and isn't using that number to beat me over the head and make that the entire topic of conversation.
Yeah.
And it's really sad, but it got me thinking. It really is like creating a more equal space and a space where your provider has to listen to you, even if they're not weight neutral, even if they're not practicing from this lens, it puts you on more equal footing because they can't make everything about the size of your body. And they have to actually ask, hey, why are you here? Tell me more about your symptoms. If you're struggling with some new symptoms. It's really strange, but it's this platform for slightly better and more equitable treatment. I don't think telehealth is going to be the answer to everything. I think people still build relationships and need physicals, need to be able to come in and have their blood drawn and have an MRI, have all of these things that you can't do virtually. Mm-hmm. But I think that it can be a more equal space to have somebody who's really been avoiding healthcare for many years because of negative experiences, reinitiate those conversations and do it on their own terms in a comfortable space and not worry about going through the pain of feeling every single way in which they felt overlooked in the past, like from the seating to the gown to the cuff. It's much more on your terms. And so I think it's a place to start. Telehealth is a place to start to make care a little bit more size inclusive. But ultimately, all of the other things still have to change too. Yeah. Ultimately, everybody deserves to walk into a healthcare setting and know that they were thought of in the design of every single part of that process. So I think it's a starting point. I think honestly, everything has to change. So exactly. This is just the start.
Yeah.
Receipts clutter our life, making a mess in our wallets, cars, and home. But what if you turn that chaos into rewards? Fetch Rewards can make it happen. You download the app, snap a picture of your receipts, and turn that rewards for free gift cards. Best part of it all, it's free. Download Fetch Rewards on App Store or Google Play to earn 2,000 points by using the code DAX18. That's DAX18. Go Fetch.
I know with your research and all of your like planning and all of that kind of execution and stuff like that, there's probably some terminologies that you weren't familiar with in the past that you are more. Is there any terminologies now that you'd like to bring to the surface here for my listeners?
Yeah, I think that one of the most helpful paradigms when it comes to thinking about size inclusivity and health equity is health at every size. Mm-hmm. And this is a term coined by multiple researchers, including Dr. Lindo Bacon and Dr. Deb Burgard. And it's been around for about like 15 years now, I believe. And it's really a set of principles that says, essentially, you don't know how healthy somebody is by looking at them. And everybody can pursue health no matter their current size. It doesn't necessarily state that everybody is healthy at their current size, no matter what the size is. I feel like people always conflate that. And patients have told me when they've brought up health at every size, the doctors will just respond with some kind of BS. Are you saying somebody can be thousands of pounds and be healthy? And that's not the principle at all. But I think people like default to that so that they can dismiss it and don't have to actually engage with it. Health at every size actually says is that health is something that everybody can and should have access to, and that people at lots of different sizes can be healthy. Size diversity is a natural part of life, and nobody should be denied access to care or, you know, should struggle to find care because of their size. Mm-hmm. And everybody should be given the tools to pursue health. And those tools aren't, you need to lose 50 pounds. That's not a tool. A tool is, right, let's talk about the ways in which you can incorporate movement into your life. Let's talk about how you can build a healthier relationship with food and not fear food. And let's talk about how diet culture has really warped your ideas of health and, yeah, has told you that you have to look a certain way and act a certain way in order to be healthy, which is, mm-hmm, not true. So I think people should definitely look deeper into health at every size and into those principles and the framework. And it's something that I think can give people a place to start when they think about, okay, I've been told my whole life by doctors is something I should start questioning and not take at face value.
Right. Absolutely. And you did bring up diet culture, which again, obviously it was January. And like the first thing everyone wants is new year, new body, all of those same lingo coming up. And I feel like big pharmaceuticals are jumping on this and reaching out to all of those healthcare providers like, hey, do you have any patients here that want to listen and try this out? So I feel like even that's more of an incentive for some of them to not even be more weight neutral because they want to make more money out of it. I was curious about your thoughts on like pharmaceuticals and the diet culture.
Yeah, I've gone through my own education over the past 2 years, especially on how much diet culture permeates our lives to an extent that's hard to recognize if you're not actively looking for it. There's, of course, weight loss drugs and the pharmaceutical companies that make a lot of money by peddling weight loss drugs. There's more insidious forms of weight loss like Noom, which are like, this is not a diet. This is just, yeah, a mindset change. I feel like they trot out a new phrase to describe how they're not a diet like every couple months.
Yeah.
And you have to, it's wild that you have to be really on guard to not let these messages creep into your life and to reset, especially for people who've struggled with disordered eating in the past. It's really hard because you go on social media and these ads are everywhere. They creep into your consciousness and they make you regress, even if you've been making such amazing progress with your disordered eating or your life in general and your outlook. And I think it's really a shame. I think it's something that is changing, but we need even more voices joining the chorus and being like, no thanks. This is not, this has caused so much harm, so much trauma. mm-hmm. has caused so many people to see themselves in this warped way as not good enough. And no, we all deserve better than that. And yeah. one other thing I'll add there is that what's wild, because I come more from the technology side, is when I look at investments that people are making into healthcare interventions targeted at plus size bodies, they always see weight loss as the only thing that they could possibly fund. And it's like, no, why don't you actually talk to some people in larger bodies and ask them what they want instead of assuming that all they want is like another tool to shrink? It's bullshit because I don't know if I should say it. It's really unfortunate because I think about all of the other ways in which these investments and this funding could have actually produced improvements to the healthcare that people in larger bodies are receiving. And mm-hmm. instead, they've all been funneled basically towards weight loss. Mm-hmm. If they've been funneled towards more equitable care outcomes, just more equitable care in general, I think that all of the disparities that are often attributed to someone's weight, we would see that those disparities would really significantly be reduced because people are actually getting the care, are being listened to, are being diagnosed at the right times instead of being having like weight loss solutions pushed on them, having bariatric surgery and having weight loss drugs pushed on them by their doctors who do that instead of listening to why they're actually there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's you bringing up like the investor side of it, like the financial kind of perspective is truly fascinating because I didn't think a lot of people just gave it as an option to look at alternatives because they've only seen weight loss in one form. And it's not as surprising to me. It's just sad that it's still the same shit every day.
I think it's just that they personally don't have the understanding of what it's like in a lot of instances to be in a larger body themselves. And they aren't surrounded by a diversity of people. I think mm-hmm. it's like, when I think back to my time, like working in the Bay Area, I really in my own workplace and in the workplaces that I was interacting with, I didn't see a lot of size diversity. I think like everybody fit a similar mold and people never questioned diet culture. Like these things just didn't come up. And because you can't ask somebody that you trust who's in a larger body what they actually want out of the healthcare system, you're mm-hmm. basically ascribing motivations to them. You're thinking, oh, everybody is in pursuit of this one thing, which is weight loss, which means the money is in weight loss, which means I'm going to invest in weight loss.
Yeah.
And if you'd actually been surrounded by people with different perspectives and you'd actually engaged with them more, you'd realize that, oh, my outlook is super narrow. And my outlook is not a reflection of the world. It's just your very sheltered lack of perspective. I bring all of this up because part of what we need to do is also in order to launch the clinic, we need to go raise venture capital. And I definitely see this being an uphill battle because honestly, like I said, people have only seen weight loss as a solution to getting people quote unquote healthier. They haven't thought about the systemic injustices and how they can play a role in shifting the status quo there. They've just looked at, it's just because these weight loss drugs aren't effective enough. We just need a more effective weight loss drug. It's like beyond that. Yeah. I hope that people do.
Compared to the US healthcare system and regarding finding all of these size inclusivity doctors and providers and stuff like that, how does the US compare to other countries? Have you seen that type of research go on?
I haven't necessarily looked very deeply into research, but I know that our own conversations with the broader like plus size community. And right now we have a survey out that we want people to take that's like a 3-minute survey. And we've seen people take the survey that are from outside of the US, that are from Canada or the UK or other English speaking countries. Unfortunately, I think that there's a lot of similarity. So I've definitely heard that in the NHS in the UK, it's very similar. If you come in and you're in a larger body and you present some new symptoms you've been having, often it still gets attributed back to your weight. And weight loss is still presented as the silver bullet to solve all of your health conditions or symptoms. Unfortunately, I think that there is a lot of similarity between how pervasive weight stigma is here and how everything gets attributed back to weight, I think there's a lot of similarity in other healthcare systems as well. I think I was a little bit naive in thinking this was an American-only problem. It's definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with how much culture and nationality plays a huge part into how people are perceived with their outlooks. So that's why I was just curious if you've seen it from different countries, how they compared and how they did their healthcare, if it's more friendlier or if it's still as restrictive and still very hard to get through that barrier.
The one thing I will say, though, is that I actually grew up in India. I moved to the US when I was 14, and I grew up as a very big kid. So I was always like the tallest, heaviest kid, heavier than all the boys, taller than all the boys. And it was just like my life from up to the point where I became a teenager, and then I stopped growing weirdly. I thought I was going to be like 6'2", but unfortunately I'm not. But what I noticed like in my childhood is that I was protected from a lot of the BS that comes with being a bigger kid in the US. What I mean by that is like culturally, we didn't have school weigh-ins. My family had a family doctor that they took me to, and that doctor didn't see my weight as a proxy for how healthy I was. They just saw a bigger kid and it was no big deal. And I think back and realize how lucky I am for that, because diet culture starts entering kids' lives very young here. Mm-hmm. And my co-founder also grew up in a much larger body as a kid, but he grew up in Central California. Mm-hmm. And his experience as a child going to the doctor and having to step on the scale is much more negative. The interactions he had with his doctors were much more negative, where he was always told, you're super unhealthy, you need to eat better, you need to work out. When in fact, they didn't even ask him. They didn't even ask him, tell me about your diet or tell me about your activity. He used to play golf competitively and he actually ate very healthy. Some people just have larger bodies. People making those assumptions, it started very young here. Whereas for me, I think like I just had the freedom to be a kid and be in this body that was quote unquote not normal, but it was just my body and it was treated like no big deal. So when I think about like how I would love for American culture to really shift over the next couple of decades, kids just need to be allowed to be kids and humans just need to be allowed to exist in whatever form they are. Like there doesn't need to be a mold that you need to fit in order for your humanity to be affirmed or for you to be treated with care, consideration. And I do think that that stuff starts so early in the US and it can be so detrimental.
I know. Seriously. And I'm just thinking about it now. I was like, if I was in the medical profession, would they treat me any differently because of my weight? Like if I was trying to work with actual, that's what I want to hear too, is from like doctors who are considered fat plus size. Are they still not getting treated respectfully as their, you know, colleagues and stuff like that, because they're constantly being put on that pedestal? And then them trying to provide that kind of research and findings and all those types of advice, is it still being neglected because of how they're perceived and stuff? So I feel like on that perspective as well, seeing it from their point of view, how does it feel? Not just from a patient point of view, because we all seen it, but like from a doctor's point of view, because the doctors are always known to be in their best shape. They always have to be put on like that kind of high pedestal. So it's interesting to see from both ends too as well. But I'll have to interview a doctor someday to see how it works out.
I hope you find the doctor or doctors that can really bring that to light. I've seen some research that says that actually fat bias is pervasive within the broader profession. And it makes perfect sense. You can't have disdain towards your fat patients and not carry forward that disdain to your colleagues who are also in larger bodies. So I think that you're very right. I think like they'll have a really interesting perspective on that. And I hope that we can find these larger size providers and bring them to bear, bring them to friendlier spaces where they can be themselves and they can treat patients in all kinds of bodies the way they've always, you know, treated, the way they always have, and not feel like that's looked down upon or that's seen as not as good enough by their colleagues.
Yeah. So I just want to know, just for to help you for research purposes, what can my listeners do to help you get to your next step in your company and your startup?
Yeah, definitely. So currently what we're doing full time is community engagement, and that's taking two forms. The first is that we have the survey that's out that over 250 people have already taken, which is amazing. Oh, wow. But we're trying to get to 1,000. So we would love for people to go to bearhealth.co and take the survey. It's a 3-minute survey. I've been told it's a really fun survey. We put gifts in there. We tried to incentivize people to take it just to see some beautiful images. So That's one thing people can do. The other thing is to just schedule some time to have a conversation with me about their own healthcare journey and how they want things to change. Mm-hmm. So again, if you go to bearhealth.co, there's a link to my calendar where people can find whenever they're free. And I really just want to hear as many perspectives as I can and hear people's own takes on what they'd like to see in the world for them to want to engage with a system that's let them down time and time again. So yeah, those are two things.
Awesome. I appreciate it. And I was going to say, where can they find you at, if you said Instagram or anything else too as well?
Yeah, we are on Instagram at BareHealth, BareHlth, because we couldn't find the full word. So find us there.
Awesome. Perfect. And again, you guys can go check them out on their website too as well. I'll put that in the description as well. Thank you so much for being on here today. I really appreciate it. You have been the perfect guest, honestly.
I really appreciate you, Olive. And I love that you're building this community and building this podcast. And our goal is to always bring the community into what we're building. So I'm really appreciative of the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. Please, guys, go check her out. I really think that they are onto something amazing. And with our help, I think we can help them get there. Perfect.
Thanks, Olive.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Expand the Curve. Leave us a review and tell us what you think. You can keep up with the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Expand the Curve. If you want to support the podcast with a monthly donation, visit our Patreon.